From Calvary Chapel, South Bay,
it's Light of the Word
with Steve Mays.
Well, this morning, I want to draw your attention to one of the great verses in the Bible. And it has to come in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 2. Jeremiah 31, verse 2. It's probably one of the most incredible verses that you will come across, and you're going to want to underline it and once again try to remember exactly what it has to say. Because you will probably never see it again. It's one of those tucked away verses in the Old Testament that when you don't read the Old Testament, you are missing some of the great insights of really the heart of God. And there is nothing more dangerous than this wilderness experience that we're going to talk about in just a few moments. And so I want to share with you that wilderness experience, what it does, how it can destroy a life, how it has ruined so many people in their life, and how oftentimes we tend to blame God and blame other people because of the horrible times we find ourselves in. They're not enjoyable moments. They're filled with deadness. They're filled with dryness. They're filled with barrenness. We don't seem to sense the Lord or His goodness or His grace. And we look around and we have motion, but there's no emotions whatsoever. We're just kind of going through the things in our marriage or in our dating relationship, or we're going to work and coming back, but there's no heart, no life. Everything seems to be so calloused in what we do. And I think the most difficult thing is the loneliness and how we tend to do the same thing day in and day out. And it's one of the most horrible places to live in your whole life. And tragicness actually is that most of us will live in the wilderness for a long, long time. And I think it's important that you understand that there is a point in your life that God will take you into the wilderness. He took many great men into the wilderness. He took Moses. He took Philip, you remember, out of a revival and took him into the wilderness to help an Ethiopian man. He took Joseph and put him in prison for 13 years so he would be able to rule a nation and be second under command to Pharaoh. And he took Daniel, a young boy, out of his home and brought him into Babylon. And he was in that wilderness for some 70 years. And yet each of these men arose above it, and they became great pillars in the church. And I believe that if you can get this one verse in your heart, it will change your life forever. And God wanted the children of Israel to go through the wilderness. It was the quickest way to get to where He was wanting to go. But the whole trip was only about 11 to 14 days. And because they complained and griped and murmured, and they began to chide with the Lord and fight with God and argue to the Holy Spirit, they extended that 14 days to 40 years of their life. And then they angered the Lord, and that generation perished, and they never made it into the promised land. And one of the great dangers of the wilderness experience, and I think this is what I want you to remember, is we can become so used to it, it becomes the norm of the Christian walk. Because we see the Shekinah glory, and we see the pillar of fire, and we see the water coming out of the rock, and we see the manna being given to us every day, and this is pretty good life. But we never experience as houses that we have not built that we get to enjoy, and vineyards that we did not plant that we get to enjoy and eat. And we never get to see the milk and honey in the promised land that God gave us because we're too unwilling to move ahead. And so the greatest obstacle I believe that God has is to condition us to take a step of faith. And I want to challenge you today. Maybe you've been in your wilderness way too long. Maybe you're stuck in this pit or going around and around and around in circles. But here I read in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. The same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the God which will let the sword, found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when he went to cause him to rest. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Would you underline that word, grace in the wilderness? Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Well, Father, we ask that, Lord, that you would bring this deep within to our hearts. And that, God, that you would bring great maturity into our lives. That we would find today that we have no one to blame but ourselves. That, Lord, today is the great day of our life. That, Lord, at any moment we can look to your grace. And when the times are dry, you promise to give us a river under our feet. And that, Lord, when we are hungry, you promise to feed us. And so, Lord, we look to you in the midst of our difficulties and sadness. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think this month, probably more than any other month in the last 30 years of my life, have been filled with some of the saddest moments talking to different people, watching their lives fall apart, seeing the incredible abuse other people have done to their children, beginning to see some of the horrors that they have gone through in relationships and in marriages, and it seems like so many are discouraged. So many are willing to quit. So many are beginning to be broken and abused, and it's overwhelming so many times. And it's interesting that when I look at these people, and even in our studies when we look at Samson, we see how he was such a horrible failure. Or we look at Gideon, how he was so paralyzed by fear that he was hiding from the Midianites. Or I think of Paul, how he was going about killing and persecuting and bringing real terror into the Christian homes. Or John Mark leaving the work of God because of his insecurity and his own personal fear. Or Peter cursing and denying the Lord. They were in those moments of great wilderness within their life. But in each of these situations, something great happened. It says, but Samson's hair began to grow. That word but is right there in the King James. His hair began to grow. His strength began to grow. And even though he was a failure, God still redeemed him. And what he did at the very end was more than he did in his whole lifetime. And even though we see that Gideon was hiding, but God took him and God gave him strength and he became a tremendous warrior. And it was the sword of Gideon, you remember, that annihilated the Midianites and the army. And it was Peter that cursed his Lord. But God said, when you have been shifted and God changes your heart, you're going to strengthen many. And it was Peter that said, you men of Judah and Galilee, hearken to me this day, for this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has raised up. God redeemed him. And it was Paul, you remember, that said to John Mark, bring John Mark back because he's profitable unto me. And it was this man named Paul that had murdered and killed and annihilated. But the hand of God came upon him and God never left him. So in the midst of your agony, the midst of the pain, the midst of the trials and suffering, you got to see God. It's so important within your life. And sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes we fail to see the goodness, but the Bible talks about hardship. And oftentimes it's difficult, those difficult moments. And we say, God, where are you? And we look in the mirror and we sense no presence of God. We look inside and there's no peace and there's no security and we're now running on fear and fumes and we're kind of out of control and everything's on fire and everything needs to be done and we're going from paycheck to paycheck and from moment to moment, relationship to relationship, trying to make it. But if we could stop and sit down for a moment, all of us, we would have to contend and say, we've been here too long. It's time to move on. It's time to get victory in this mess. It's time to let this relationship go. It's time to give this husband or this child or this dating relationship to God. It's time for me to cut the strings and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work. And there are times that you're going to lose your way. Israel did. They made bad choices and they forsook the Lord and they didn't find Him. But God never forsook him. And God never took His eyes off of Israel. And there's going to be times in your life that you are no longer trusting God because you're mad at Him. And you don't understand why things are happening. But even in the midst of your difficult times, like in the book of Job, he never falsely accused God. He would look to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the midst of the fire, they looked to God. Even on the sea, the disciples, they saw the Lord. And God wants you to see Him. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to believe in Him. And sometimes we don't see the reason why we go through these incredible moments. But there's a wonderful truth, and it's right here. There's grace in the wilderness. And when you find that grace, when you realize there's a purpose, when you understand that God has you here for a reason, then you can learn your lesson and you can begin to move on to the things of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to share three simple things about the wilderness today. I think number one, it's a very discouraging place. I'll just say it like it is. It's a very discouraging place to live. You're going to say, Steve, are you going to give me something to hope on? I am, at the very end. But I want to define the wilderness. I want to try to show you what it's like. It's a very discouraging place. Number two, it's a very dreaded path. It's a very dreaded path. It's discouraging because you don't want to walk down that road. But it's also very dreaded because it's a very dangerous thing. And so not only is it discouraging, secondly, it's very dreaded. But thirdly, it's a place to discover the promises of God. God has you where you are. And if you would stop and look, God would begin to show you exactly what He's doing in your life. So let's take a look at these three. We'll try to get through these two quickly and get to the good stuff at the very end. But let me lay out how you really feel about the wilderness, but you really don't know how to talk about it. And we find that Paul talks about it. A carnal life is a wilderness experience. Unequally yoked is a wilderness experience. Not trusting God is a wilderness experience. Living for yourself in selfishness is a wilderness experience. And that's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come, to break open that hard heart, to bring forth the water, a torrent of living water, and to teach you how to believe and see God within your life. And number one, I think it's a discouraging place. I think the wilderness life is a very discouraging place because it's a place of dreariness. In other words, you just grind. It's like Samson. You're going around and around and around in circles. You're going to work and coming home and the 110 freeway and back to the 405 and 405 back to the 110. And you're leaving a dirty home and you're coming home to a dirty home. And you come home to a filthy garage, you leave a filthy garage. And your dog is messing up and he's still messing up. And your wife's talking back to you and you're talking back to her and nothing's changing. In other words, it's around and around and around in circles. And no matter where you put your hand in that circle, you can almost predict it. You know exactly the kids aren't going to take the trash out. You know exactly what you're going to fight over. You know exactly what you're going to do this weekend. It's so dreaded sometimes that it's almost frightening because you realize that it's almost life is gone. It's like a robot. You just go to work. I remember one Sunday morning, I told my wife, I don't want to go to work. She says, you have to. I said, I don't want to go. That was really serious. And she says, you have to. I said, give me one good reason. She says, you're the pastor and they need to hear from you. That's a sad moment, you know. But those moments come. They're dreaded. I just don't want to stand before people and tell them. I want to sleep in and just look at the ceiling and feel sorry for myself. I want to scratch my belly and rub my bald head and just say, whoa, whoa, is me, Jose. You know? And there are moments that I want to call Don and say, Don, you do it. What are you going to do? I'm going to sit in front of the fireplace. It's nice right here. But those are dreaded moments. I know what God wants, but I don't want to do it. I know He wants me to get out of it, but I don't want to get out of it, because if I know that people feel sorry for me, I like that. And I don't want people to like me or love me or feel sorry for me. So I'm going to walk around with a bottom lipper. I'm going to kind of walk with my head down. I'm going to pout. I'm going to be great at what I do. You know, I'm a wilderness boy. I'm a wilderness Christian. And so we walk up and we pat you, and dust comes off, and you begin to break up, and clods begin to fall off your back, and your hair falls out. What happened to you? I've been in the desert. What's wrong with you? And all of a sudden, you see that it's dreaded. You almost can predict what's taking place, everything you're worried about. And things become so unattractive. Your wife begins to look like any other woman, and your car looks like any other car, and church looks like any other church. There's nothing visual, nothing exciting. You're going through the paces of life. And so you have to go down to Ross's and shop to fix things up, but you really don't know what you want. You just want to spend money because you feel good. You want to eat because you feel good. And the reason we eat is because no one can tell me not to eat. I can eat. I can eat that cookie. I can eat that burrito. I can do what I want. No one tells me what to do. But God's trying to tell you what to do. And you're hurting yourself. But also, I think it's a place of death. I think it's a place of discouragement because it's dreaded, but it's also a place of tremendous death. This wilderness experience, nothing lives. Things hide. Animals don't come out. There's no greenery. There's tumbleweed. You don't see birds flying through the air. And all of a sudden, things begin extremely hard. And everything's endangered in this wilderness. I think the heart becomes endangered. I think embitterment becomes real possibilities within our life. And we become ensnared. And loving becomes almost impossible. Because of the condition of my heart, the callousness of my heart, my unwillingness to look to God, I've lost my love for God. Therefore, I've lost my love for my own family. And there's something missing. The passion is gone. Even the way I look at the dog is gone. I come home and just go through the routine, walk to the television, push the button down. I eat. I rub my stomach. I condemn myself. I feel guilty. I go to bed. What a day. It's a horrible thing. Life is dead. Barrenness is dead. And you know what I'm talking about. You've all been there in this horrible experience. And faith seems to die. And joy seems to take a vacation. And you're just trying to make it day by day. And you know you love God. And that's not the point. God's with you and God's for you. But you don't like Him at this moment. Because you don't understand why you're here. And instead of looking to God, asking God to do the work and get out, now you've accepted that this is where you're going to be, and this marriage is going to stay here, and this children are going to be who they are, and this business is never going to grow, and your whole life becomes a prophecy of doom and gloom. And it doesn't have to be that way. And then I also think it's a place of danger. I think more than anything else, it becomes a place of danger because things die. You look around the desert and you see bones that have bleached out and men and women who have fallen and finally walked away from God because it's too hard. It's a dreaded place. Don't ever kid yourself. There's not a moment in your life that you would ever walk through the desert by yourself and have a good time. Before I got married, I took my wife out to show her how I could drive out in the desert. And I had an old truck, and I was boasting how I used to want to be a race driver. And so we went out 10 miles, and I started doing donuts out there in the desert. And got stuck. And she said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, we're going to walk home." And it was the longest walk of our life. It got dark. It got cold. It felt scary. I saw eyes. I saw her eyes. I saw horror. Resentment. Is this what you call a date? After 2 hours of walking through the desert, she knew I was prideful. What an experience. What a way to start your marriage. What a way to live your life. And it becomes a place of danger. Everything seems to die. Everything seems to fall apart. And you know something? It's a place that conquers so many hearts. I think it conquered Samson's heart in lust. And it conquered Judas. And it conquered, and so many have lost their ways because they messed around in the desert too long in their life. But not only is it a discouraging place, secondly, it's a dreaded place. I think you need to know it's a very dreaded place. And what do I mean by that? It's a very lonely walk. When you are in this desert, it's lonely. You can't bring people with you. People don't understand what you're going through. And you get mad at your spouse, or you get mad at your friends, or you get mad at God because you're the only one going through this horrible time in your life. It's a very lonely, dusty walking down this lonely path. But the tragic thing is He's always there, Christ, but I won't look to Him. And I begin to walk down this area and begin to realize that it's so lonely. And the precious things are gone, and the things I enjoyed are gone, and all the things I value are gone. It's the longest walk in your life, and some of us have been in this thing for 5 years. A bitterness has taken hold, and we don't love each other, and there's a hatred in the family towards the kids, and we don't want to see them, and there's people in the church we don't like, and we don't want to come if they're here. How sad. And we are driven, constantly driven, and it becomes one of the most difficult things. I'm so lonely, and yet outwardly, it looks like I'm all together. And so I go to crowded places, but I'm the only one that He's speaking to. I'm lonely. And I go out looking for dating relationships, but I'm lonely. And you can get married, and you can get a date, and you can buy a car, but you're lonely. And you're going to be lonely. Because God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach you when you walk down that Emmaus road, He wants to walk with you. And the longer you're mad at God, the longer that road's going to be. And for some of you, it's been 10, 15 years because you won't give your life to God. It's lonely. And things won't fill it. Money won't do it. Nothing will do it. 64-inch televisions won't do it. New furniture won't do it. New homes won't do it. If we could just understand this, we'd save a lot of money, guys. Why does your wife want so much? Because she's empty inside. Give her love, and she doesn't need anything. Much. Anyway, it's a nice thought, what can I say? But not only is it lonely, I think it's difficult. I think everything becomes difficult in that relationship. And it's difficult very simply because you're walking down the cracks of that desert. You're going to trip. And the air is hot and the wind is cold and your thirst is quenching and you're in that wilderness. And it's not a fun place. It's just not. And something else I think about, it's an empty place. It's just empty. And maybe I've described you this morning. You know, Steve, I feel empty. You know, I feel really lonely. I feel like everything's difficult in my life. You're in the wilderness. Well, I just feel like everything's dreary and I don't see life and I just can't go and I have no passion for God. I don't want to read my Bible. You're in the wilderness. And I think if you understood that, you could come to the third point, and I think it's the most important point. Because I'm going to tell you, it was God that took him to the wilderness. And oftentimes, God in your life will allow you to go back into the wilderness for a season. Not to break you, to make you. Not to hurt you, to help you. He took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire to release them. And sometimes the only thing that will speak to your heart is that wilderness moment, but not for a lifetime. And the last thing I want to share with you, and I think is the most important, very simply, it's a discovering promise. Three things I want to end with this morning. Number one, they found grace. Underline that, they found grace. And let me tell you how it works for me. Very simply, they found grace. Number one, they found God's provision. Are you finding God's provision for your life right now in your desert? Well, what do you mean? I don't understand. When Israel was in the wilderness because of their rebellion, did God give them manna? He did. Did God leave them? No, He didn't. Did God ever hurt them? No. He was always with them. He provided their daily needs. That's what we forget. I got to make it through this wilderness. I got to push through this hard time. I got to go through this dry area, but I can do it. Listen to what you're saying. Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden because why? They wouldn't trust God. Now that they didn't trust God, now they're still not going to trust God. They're going to do it themselves, and so leaves. In other words, everything in our fiber, we will not look to God. There's something in this human nature that fights against God. My spirit is longing for God. My flesh is against God. So Adam wants to do it himself. God said, don't do it. I have to have it. Now he's in trouble. Instead of going to God, he's going to fix it himself. That is the story of humanity. Lord, I'm in this wilderness. I need to be fed. Stephen, in the midst of this wilderness, I will never forsake you. I will be the manna of your life. You remember what he said in John 6:31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Have you experienced that in the last 10 years of your life? I'm just barely making it. I'm kind of burned out. God doesn't love me. God wants to feed you. God wants to be the source of your strength. God wants to give you joy in your heart. Well, you don't understand. I lost my husband. God wants to feed you. God wants to be your strength. You don't understand. I lost my children. God wants to feed you. In other words, God will take you in the midst of this horrible situation, and he will provide your daily needs. It goes on to say in Exodus chapter 16, verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna for 40 years. What does that tell me? That God never missed a day. That God was always giving them exactly what they needed. But God was smart. He divinely gave it, but it had to be humanly gathered. That tells me something about my own personality. God, I hate where I'm at. What are you doing about it? Nothing. God, I don't like what's going on in my life. What are you doing about it? Nothing. If God wants to do something, he's going to do it. God wants to do something. He wants you to change. Well, I don't want to change. There you got it. It's not that you can't, you won't. It's not that you don't see God, you don't want to hear God. You're too mad at God. And the best thing you could do is say, God, I have not eaten very well lately. Lord, would you feed me in the midst of this pain? My husband's acting weird. My children are running. This dating relationship is gone. God, I need your word to fill my heart. They left. They deserted. You will never desert me. Lord, bring that provision in my life. Is that happening in the wilderness? I don't think so. Not only is there grace in the wilderness for provision, but secondly, I find that there's a divine presence. Notice he says in Exodus 13, verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness and the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harshness out of the land of Egypt. And then again in Exodus 13, verse 21, and the Lord went before them by a day of pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, to be by day and night. Interesting. What do we say? Everyone, I don't know where God is. I don't know what God's doing. He's left me. He's with Don. He's with Rob. I can't find him. Now, wait a second. If God is willing to feed you, God's willing to lead you. I'm in the desert. God doesn't work in the desert. God makes lives in the desert. God brings character in the desert. God is trying to get deep into your heart. But you're mad at God. And the only one that can help you is God. And you're saying no to God because you want to punish God. But you're really setting your own destiny. It'd be better for you to surrender. Lord, I don't like what you're doing in my life, but I'm willing for you to feed me and get me out of this mess. I want to learn my lesson. God will do it, and you'll be out. Secondly, God will give you his presence. He'll walk before you. He'll give you the light. He'll be with you. He'll walk in that situation. When you walk into that home, he'll walk in that home. When you have to sit down with other people, he'll sit down with you. When you have to talk to a staff member, he'll talk to that staff member. God will never leave you. We don't see God. And lastly, and I think I like this the very best, a divine presence, but also I find, lastly, is a definite purpose. There's a definite purpose. You remember in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'll close here, it said, I led you in the wilderness these 40 years to prove you, to try you, to see what's in your heart. For 10 years you've been fighting God. I hate this wilderness. I hate this life. What is the lesson that God's been trying to get a hold of you? He has proven that your heart's not right. He has shown you that you will not humble yourself. And He is trying to help you. I led you these 40 years to humble you, to prove you, and to show you what's in your heart. So the wilderness experience becomes the greatest moment of my life. If God sends you there, it's for a reason. It doesn't have to be dreaded. Doesn't have to take 40 years. Doesn't have to take your whole life. Why? Give me one reason why, Steve. Because God wants to feed you from His Word. God wants to walk with you down the dusty path. And God wants to explain to you that in this situation, He's going to make you great. And so in this little verse, in the Old Testament, they found grace in the Lord. Maybe this morning, you need grace. Why go another week, another day, another hour? If God is willing to feed you, and God's willing to walk with you, and God's willing to explain to you, would you like to hear and know and receive? You see, it's time for us to receive so we can enter into the promised land.
Are you looking for a church home? One that has something for you, your spouse, and your kids? Well, that's what you'll find at Calvary Chapel South Bay in the city of Gardena. With dozens of ways to get involved, you're sure to find a good fit for everyone in your family. Go to our website and click on the link titled Ministries and learn about some of the ways you can put your faith into action. Better yet, join us this Sunday morning for worship at 8, 9:45, or 11:30. We're located at the corner of Vermont and Knox in Gardena. Need more info? Give us a call at 310-352-3333. That's 310-352-3333. Or find us online at ccsouthbay.org. Calvary Chapel South Bay, the place for you and your family.